Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Continuing our study in the book of Malachi, our verse-by-verse exposition through the book, we have come to chapter 4. And we ventured into verse 2 of chapter 4 on the broadcast yesterday. And that's where we're going to continue today as we move on. And we're almost to the end, because there are only 6 verses in chapter 4. But in chapter 4, we have found introduced in the first 3 verses of the chapter the day of judgment, the day of final judgment, which we have learned will be a day of final judgment for the wicked, but it will also be a day of final victory for the righteous. Final judgment, beyond which there is no reprieve, that's it. Final victory for the righteous, beyond which there is no defeat, there is no retreat. It is a final day of judgment for the wicked and a final day of victory for the righteous. And we are now in that second part, the day of victory for the righteous, and we'll continue studying it on the Beacon Broadcast on this Friday, March 20. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for helping us with your financial gifts. Malachi 4:1, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch." I pause. We've covered this verse carefully, and I was just reading it again. But I pause to point out that much of what is given to us here is in picturesque language. There are symbols. There are metaphors. There are descriptions that are given to us in picturesque form, which help us to understand what is being said. And likewise, when we move on to the second category, the day of victory for the righteous, we read in verse 2, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." You see the figurative language in here? It's not difficult to understand what is being said, even if you don't give careful attention to the figures. The general concept is clear enough, but it's helpful to look at these figures and to understand more clearly what is being considered, what is being declared. And so a day of final victory for the righteous, whereas you remember the prophet Malachi speaking for God, shifts his focus from third person plural to second person plural. Talking about the wicked, he talked about this is what's going to happen to them. But talking about the righteous, he says this is what's going to come to you. He's talking directly to them, to this remnant. He's talking directly to you if you are a child of God. And there are 4 aspects of this day of final victory for the righteous. There are the participants to be considered. There is the explanation that we'll look at in a moment. There is the exaltation and the vindication. The participants we saw on the broadcast yesterday are described as those who fear my name. But to you who fear my name, you who have come to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and to fear his name. It's not that you were never proud, you were, but your pride has been humbled before God. You who fear my name. It's not spoken to those who never sinned or never did wickedly, because you did wickedly. Some of you, no doubt, have done exceeding wickedness in your life, but you have come to acknowledge your sins as wicked transgressions before God. You have owned your sins. You've repented of your sins. You've sought the mercy of God. You are those who fear His name. And that's the difference. I ended the broadcast yesterday talking about it, and I pick it up again. That's the difference, my friend. Are you a God-fearing person? Do you fear the Lord? Is your greatest fear His disapproval? Is your greatest fear His judgment? Is your greatest fear His displeasure? Or are you sailing through life presuming that you are right with God regardless of how you live, how you honor or dishonor Him? And again, I'm not suggesting that anyone is saved by what you do or don't do. I just went through it a moment ago. The righteous are not those who are never proud. They are those who used to be proud. The righteous are not those who never do wickedly. They're ones who used to do wickedly and still sin from time to time. But the difference is those who have bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. The day is coming when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What's that mean? He is ruler. He is master. He has authority. Now, you either bow the knee to Him now, to your salvation, or you are forced to bow it later, but it'll be too late for salvation. You'll simply have to acknowledge His authority as He pronounces your judgment and casts you out into eternal fire. That's the only difference. We're all sinners. We're either sinners who are still proud and unyielded to the authority of Christ, or we are sinners who have been humbled by the gracious work of God's Spirit in our hearts and have acknowledged His rightful rule over us. We have come to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm afraid many people have been deceived into thinking that if you will give assent to the terms of the gospel in the sense that Jesus Christ died on the cross as a substitute for sinners and rose again from the dead, and I believe that, therefore I'm saved. Well, that is what He did to save sinners, and you need to understand that and know that and embrace that. You certainly cannot reject that. But the real issue is not, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, or that He died for sinners, or even have become convinced that He died for you? The real issue is, have you made Him Lord? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess what? That Jesus died on the cross for sinners and rose again from the dead? No. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Please let that sink into your soul. If you have been around a church, you've probably sung that truth. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is a wonderful truth. It is a foundational truth. It is an ultimate truth. This is talking about this final day. Every knee will bow, but some of the knees that bow in that day will be bowing for the first time. They've stubbornly refused to bow until they're forced to do so. Others who bow in that day will be following a long habit of life because they first bowed a long time ago and have been bowing the knee to the Lordship of Christ for many years, and when they go into eternity, they're simply doing what they've been doing. They will once again gladly bow the knee and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. I fear that many people do not understand that truth. But that's the difference. Those who fear my name, says God. Those who fear my authority. Those who fear my power. Those who fear my sovereign rule. Those who bow before it and give me the rightful place that I have, namely as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as majestic ruler of this universe that I created, as ruler of every creature in this universe that I created, including you, dear friend, rightful ruler of you. The wicked in that day are the proud who will not bow the knee until they're forced to do so. The righteous in that day are those who humbly and gladly bowed the knee during their life upon the earth and will continue to do so throughout all eternity. The participants are those who fear my name. But consider the explanation. But to you who fear my name, we read, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you don't have probably a copy of the scriptures before you, so you don't know when I said that, whether Son of Righteousness is S-O-N, or whether Son of Righteousness is S-U-N, but I can tell you it is S-U-N. It's a figure. The Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Now, it's clearly a reference to Jesus Christ. It is a reference to God the Son, S-O-N, but here it is the Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. A very interesting metaphor, a very instructive metaphor. I'm told that the ancients sometimes pictured the sun, the S-U-N, as a disc with wings because of its movement across the sky, or so it seems to us upon the earth. Actually, and it is moving, but the movement we see upon the earth, that as it rises in the east and goes across the sky during the day and sinks down in the west, the movement that we see is actually, of course, the movement of the earth rotating on its axis. But the sun, often pictured as a disc with wings. And here it is said that the Son of Righteousness shall arise. The Son of Righteousness, that is, the Son who provides righteousness. Like the sun, S-U-N, provides light and warmth and life. There is no life without the sun. So the Son of Righteousness provides light and warmth and life. The Son of Righteousness shall arise, we are told, with healing in his wings. The healing rays of the sun, and we talk about that, how beneficial are the rays of the sun. You don't want to go too many days without experiencing any sunlight. That's not healthy. The sun has healing rays. And so does the sun, the S-O-N. He has healing rays. And there's a new day dawning when all wrongs will be made right. There'll be no sin, no sorrow, no pain, no injustice. And he who is like an oven to the wicked is like the healing sun to the righteous. And he will culminate all that he has promised and purchased in that day. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.